Hey, and this is Russ Dizdar. We are here at Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Thank you, Steve. And we're ready for June the 1st. I can, listen, hardly believe how fast May has come in and gone. We're into June 2010. 2012ers, it's the clock is ticking. Will it be the end of the world? Will it be a chaos? Will it be, will it be the Black Awakening? Will it be a spiritual awakening, but not what they think? Well, a spiritually masqueraded power for sure. A evolution to the human consciousness, or is it going to be a blanketing of the human consciousness and a preparation for the reception of one of the most spiritually powerful individuals in all of history? 2,600 years ago, Daniel talked about him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke about these days and the abomination that would cause desolation. Again and again and again, he is called the Antichrist. He is, instead of the real. And I think that most of the world now, knowing the conspiracies, knowing so many things about the end of days, well, there's a lot of talk about him. I happen to believe that since we are so close to the end, it's most likely that the Antichrist has been born, has been raised, and is operative. We have not seen what is called the Apocalypse Anthropos Anamos, the unveiling, which means that he has to already be there for there to be an unveiling of the man of lawlessness. Now, this is going to change everything. And we're in that part of, where the most of the world feels it in the air. Billions, I believe, now talk. Millions upon millions are very attentive to the sense of catastrophe, terror, trouble, chaos that is coming. And in the alternative spiritual views out there, there is really a synchronicity of ideas, old occultism, the old Masons and 2012ers and New Agers all agree with what Luciferic agenda is all about, that there will come a cleansing and then a new order. And yet it's being worked on right underneath our feet. It is being moved upon because of a secret power of lawlessness that's operative. Now, again, I want to point you tonight to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't know if you've read the Bible. I don't know if you're a Bible reader. We have a lot of believers in Christ that do listen tonight. I want to say welcome to all of you and glad you're here. I'm the guest host tonight on Survive to Thrive, the radio network. This is Russ Dizdar. The website for us is simply shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. There are hundreds of free MP3s. There are now 3 training courses that are offered to you free: Confronting the Powers, Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, and also Supernatural Apologetics. These are the same courses I would teach here locally, or if I had the opportunity, teach in a local Bible school or college. So they're all up there and they're free wherever you are in the world. I want to welcome many of the listeners that listen by archives later on during the week. Again, welcome. Welcome to those that are monitoring the show. And check out all of those that speak about the end of days. Well, you can't get rid of the concept, that's for sure. And the more we press on towards that day, well, let me give one example. Israel, Hamas, the global attention right now, the condemnation that is coming against Israel, yet the behind-the-scenes development of weapons, the smuggling of weapons in, the firing of missiles, all of the rest, bottom line, whatever side of the fence you're on when it comes to the Middle East, it has been spoken about 3,000 years ago, 2,600 years ago, 2,000 years ago, the prophetic, infallibly accurate predictions the Spirit of God has given will occur. And so the Middle East is going to be the hotbed. It's going to be the center. It's going to be the place, ultimately, the Son of God will come to descend to the temple in Jerusalem. But somebody's seeking to get there first. And there is a spiritual force that drives the coming collapse, the coming globalism, the presence. And I got to remind you, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, we're talking about the ruler. Look up the words, if you'd like. And it's referring to a spiritual entity. You can feel the energy, you can feel the power, you can sense it over cities, you can sense it in movements, you can find encounters, experiences, voices, writings that have come from the finite fallen spirits, but there is a force that is manifesting as predicted as never before in human history. And as we see it coming to the surface, soon, my dear friends, there will be a burst like Revelation 6, like the red horse. Keep your eyes on this concept. I believe the spirit of Antichrist, as 1 John speaks about, is already out there. I believe Antichrist is already operative, but not revealed yet when the restrainer is removed. Now, so many of you know the scriptures, so you can look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Some of you may be tuning in tonight because you heard the topic deals with the human sexual decadence and homosexuality, and we're doing a series this week on this subject, and I wonder if it will get me into a little bit of trouble. But it doesn't really matter, because ultimately, in the context of what we're speaking about, there is incredible freedom, there is incredible love, there's an incredible restoration of life and destiny. For anyone, including anyone with sexual addictions and decadence, whether homosexual or any other kind of thing, that Christ, what would it be like for Jesus to walk up to someone caught in deep sexual addictions and or a gay lesbian activist? Would the gay and the lesbian activists demand that Jesus change? Would they interpret his words and restructure his words and reinterpret his words and revise them to make it sound like he loved everyone? He loves us, so he loves everything. Does he love the rapist? Does he love the murderer? Does he love? Listen, you've got to understand, God loves the world, and the answer for the forgiveness of sin is found in the cross. The answer for relationship to God is found at the cross. God says no to the things that destroy our lives and destroy society and destroy the imago Dei, the image of God in mankind, in humankind. And so let me say from the outset, this series this week is all about the extreme freedom, deliverance, forgiveness, new life, and love of God that can be received by anyone, including, and I don't care who's lied to you or not, I'm telling you that including anyone, gay, lesbian, homosexual, anywhere around the world, as thousands and thousands of ex-gays, lesbians, homosexuals have left that lifestyle and come to Christ, have turned around and walked away, the reality is there is freedom. Now listen, we're doing a series this week. Here's what it's called: Homosexuality, the Military, and What Are You Fighting For? Monday night we were doing the subject, or the title for Monday night at 6 p.m., Homosexuality, the Military, and What Is Normal at the End of Days? Now I've got to go over a couple of things because we ran out of time. We're talking about the new... politically, and I believe based on homosexual activism and lobbying, the political, literally forcing the military to change things, the don't ask, don't tell. Now, here's some of the questions that every one of us need to think about in the military. Because in my background, dealing with gay and lesbian activists, dealing with those who've come to me to find an answer in Christ, those who've come out, those who've engaged us in debate, those who have come and did not turn away and stayed in that lifestyle, And, you know, listen, we've read about it, we've engaged, we've talked, and we need to say this. In the entire series, remember this one thing from me, Russ Dizdar. That I don't, you know, whatever you do sexually in your home, your practice, you know, you reap what you sow. That's your choice. You stand before God. If you take out the society, and if you want to become an activist for homosexuality, how about NAMBLA? They've got lobbyists. What about necrophilia, bestiality, and many of the others that are trying to promote themselves and become mainstream? Bisexuality and all the rest. What about marriage, a man and a woman, biologically, physiologically? And even in a fallen world, psychologically, specifically spiritually, we are meant to be together. The power of pleasure, the power of procreation God created. And the parts fit, if you understand what I mean. But when it comes to homosexuality, there's something different. The demand for the last 30 years has been, do not tell us we're wrong. Do not tell us it's abnormal. Do not tell us it's a sin. I mean, I was in Canada where they made the law and pastors were not allowed to say that homosexuality was a sin from the pulpit or on the radio, lest they be put in jail. Now, that's what I'm talking about. If activists are going to come out and demand that all of society, and that's what the topic tonight is, homosexual activism and the demand to change everything, and they mean everything. They mean genetics, science, psychology, history, education, politics, law, marriage, and theology to change God. So if you understand the homosexual activist agenda, if you read their materials, if you listen to their speech, if you watch how they've been trained to argue in your face and to call you a Nazi and a fascist and every, I mean, listen, when I engage the gay, lesbian, activist group on the University of Akron campus, when I simply went to share the other side because they were trying to promote that Jonathan in the Old Testament was a homosexual, David was a homosexual, and that Jesus was a homosexual. When I got up to share in a very professional way, you should have seen people were yelling at me, throwing things at me, and then saying, I'm the hater. I'm the one coming in with the hate, though the meeting was open to the public, though we were allowed. I was not even allowed. It's like no free speech. And so I'm going to tell you now, there should be a grave warning in the political realm and in the military realm and in the educational realm. And every parent that cares about their children and cares about their education and cares about a nation should care about the fact that there are those that want to change everything and silence free speech. They want it to come out to where nobody can say that it's abnormal, and it is abnormal. They want it to where nobody can say that it is a sin, and it is a sin. So is adultery. So is bestiality, necrophilia, and many other areas. Listen, we're talking about a gift of God, sexuality, pleasure, and procreation, as we mentioned Monday night. But we're also talking about dysfunction and sin. Satan takes what God made and twists it and misuses it and abuses it, clearly even among the homosexual community. There are those who have had 200 and 300 sexual partners. It is a sexocentric issue. It is centrally focused on this issue. So, as we were talking Monday night about the military issue, about the political, you know, correctness issue, and about Democrats and others being guided, and we do have gays and lesbians in our Congress, and they're pushing for these issues, and they're wanting to change. So they're demanding, and they're going to seek to force the military to oust the "don't ask, don't tell" policy. In other words, to then demand to literally what it's going to do. It's going to bring about a special rights issue that a gay and a lesbian are going to come out literally, almost as if they're going to wear a badge and literally say they are gay and lesbian. Now, let me tell you something about the issue of hate speech. I have listened to gays and lesbians. We've been in ministry, evangelistic ministry, going right into a gay lesbian bar. You want to talk about hate speech? You want to talk how gays and lesbians speak about straight people, quote, straight people, being the breeders? We're just the breeders to some of them. We're the ones that literally breed children. We're the breeders. You should see the absolute hatred, animosity. You should hear the vulgar language that is used. And you should see the intensity. And I'm telling you, it comes from a deep, deep psychological, and I'm going to say sin code mix, a propensity to clear the conscience, to demand that everything on the outside declare homosexuality right, as if that's going to solve the problem of guilt, as if that's going to solve the problem of abnormality. Exchanging the natural use. Now listen to what I say. Physiologically, biologically, it is without question that a man and a woman physically go together. It is absolutely clear, biologically, physiologically, that a man and a man do not go together, that a woman and a woman do not go together. In the context of procreation, they do not go together. And so it needs to be stated intelligently. I mean, this is science. This is physiology. This is biology. I mean, the fact of the matter, a man with a man is an abnormality sexually. Now, someone would say, but it feels good. That's exactly what those who lobby for NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, say. It's exactly what some have come out to say, that they love their pets. They want to marry their pet. And just because we say we love some, I mean, there are 35-year-old men that want to love a 12-year-old girl. Is that right? No. There's a 28-year-old teacher here in our area that began to have sexual interaction with 11-year-olds and 12-year-old boys. Is that natural? No. Is that abnormal? Yes. Is that sin? Yes. Is it wrong? Yes. Was she arrested? Yes. So please understand that when we speak about this in the military issue, in society, in your personal life, number one, every American has a right to say what they believe. Freedom of speech is a big issue. To be able to say homosexuality, physiologically, biologically, in the procreation sense, is abnormal. And it is a dysfunction. That is clear, and we have a right to speak that, and you have a right to say, no, I don't agree. You do not have to be pressured with intimidation, with assertiveness training, that universities we find. For example, we have a professor. I was in the course, criminology class, where the woman professor was a lesbian activist. The course that we paid for was absolutely overridden by her in-your-face lesbian homosexual promotion, her absolutely ripping God out of the skies and reducing God to whatever she wanted God to be, and society, and education, and religion, and everything. And I watched as 18, 19, 20-year-olds were listening to all of this, all of this ripping of their traditional belief systems and injecting them with, and those kids, they were afraid to counter. They were afraid to say, no, I believe it's wrong, though the majority did. Like the country, the overwhelming mass majority would say that it's abnormal, that it goes against nature, against procreation, against every concept of marriage and a family. It just doesn't work, function biologically, physiologically, and then ultimately, psychologically, relationally in marriage and so forth. So this is what we need to be able to bring out and say and discuss. If the gay lesbian activists want to discuss, that's fine. Let's discuss. Have a fair, honest debate. in a nation where we must keep freedom of speech. I've watched as gay lesbians in their gay parades in San Francisco, you could see them on YouTube, where they'll have transvestites, other activists flaunting gays, dressed like Jesus, a pink Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of religious desecration. There's a lot of blasphemy that goes on. And so it's very important that we are able to speak and say, you know what? Who are the real haters? Who are the ones that are forcing, well, science, psychology, history, education, politics, law, marriage, theology, maybe even you, forcing all of it to change for their sake? And what I'm going to say to the gay, lesbian activist, or to any homosexual, you can change every person's mind in the entire world. And you may think that that will clear the conscience and somehow deem you 100% correct, whether you call it civil rights or special rights, because that it actually does go against created the natural order. You will not find that final freedom that can only be found in the Creator, Redeemer, who've come for you and who has come to the cross and has given his life for your life. Jesus Christ can sort it out. There is no sin greater. The Word of God says in Romans 6, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Sin is action. It is a practice. It is a thing people, we do. And it's always, I mean, listen, if you lie, we're sinning against God. It's wrong. If you cheat, we're sinning against God. It's wrong. If we commit adultery, we sin. It is wrong. If we go out and murder someone, obviously wrong. Rape somebody, obviously wrong. A pedophile, sinner, wrong. So we understand all of that, and probably just about everybody would agree. Though because of sin in the heart of humanity, a nature that's hostile to God, check it out. Do the study. Read Romans 8 and see for yourself the revelation on the real nature. I don't care if you're a psychologist, psychiatrist, educator, scientist. The issue is we as a human race, we all know. You're listening to me right now, or maybe by the archives a month later. You're listening, and I'm telling you that you know that in your own heart you've had guilt. You've done wrong. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Death itself is here. It's the payment, the reaping of what we have sown. And God tried to protect us in the beginning. And we basically spit in the face of God, embraced an alternative spirituality that promised that we would be the gods, that everything could change, that we could do anything. Is that what freedom is? I could do anything I want. If you believe that you could do anything you want, can you kill somebody? Can you rape somebody? Can you go out and rob a bank? I don't think so. I mean, you could try it. You can try it and see if the law doesn't bring you down. The reason that we have not psychological guilt, but real moral, spiritual guilt, is because God created us with a moral, beautiful, brilliant construct that works. A man and a woman together, procreating a child, loving the child, developing the child. Listen, all of it really works. That's been the norm, even in a fallen world where everything has been torn up, where we have this massive bloody trail of tears from Genesis 3 to this very day. But there is a reason for the cross, the shedding of blood, the Savior. We're talking about the Creator coming in human flesh to turn us back to God. Now, if you want to stay in dysfunction, if you want to call it that, sin brings dysfunction. Sin does bring abnormality, whatever it is. We were not made to lie, but we lied. We were not made to cheat, but we cheat. We were not made to do any of these things. But there's something within the heart of mankind. We do it. And so tonight, when we deal with this topic, homosexual activism, the demand to change everything, in the second half of this show tonight, I'll go over this in detail. As we come to the beginning of this, Monday night, let me just say it very plainly. Why don't we ask military men and women who have to be in the bunks, the barracks, who have to go to open showers where everybody can see everybody. I mean, men can see the men in their showers. Women can see women in their showers. I mean, listen, if you're a woman and you're at a local, you know, or you're in the military and you go to take a shower, you're taking your clothes off, and, you know, in front of other women, that's not a problem. But what if there's a lesbian who is sexually aroused by the physical body of another woman? How's that any different than if it was a man that came in to your shower room? What if at a local natatorium, a workout place where the showers are open, there's men and women's side for changing and taking showers and getting dressed and all that? You know, I've gone to one for many, many years. If a man was to walk into the women's side and begin to look at the naked women, I'm sure they would scream. I'm sure that he would get arrested. I'm sure that it would be a problem. What if a gay man who's sexually aroused by a naked man? What if he walks into the barrack shower and looks at other military men? So what about bathrooms? We need to really think this through and understand how sin is a dysfunction. Listen, let's listen to Steve Quayle here for a few moments. I'll be back in about 2 minutes. And welcome back again. This is the guest host, Russ Dizdar, here tonight. Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Thank you, Steve. And we, listen, if you're new to this voice, Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, hundreds of MP3s, training materials, all kinds of stuff, and we hope that you'll take advantage of that. And we appreciate when there are those that do send in a note. Just let us know that you're listening. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. And we were down for a few days last week with a leg injury, And man, was it troubling. And we're still about only halfway out of it, hobbling around today. So we're doing better, praising God, and moving forward. Glad to be with you tonight, and glad for the opportunity. We're doing a series this week, homosexuality, the military, and what are you fighting for? And last night, Monday night, homosexuality, the military, and what is normal at the end of days? Now, let me mention one last thing concerning the Monday night show that we ran out of time. The fact that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 deals with the second coming of Christ, it deals with what everybody feels right now. There's a coming revolt, a massive chaos, and then an apocalypse, an unveiling of the Antichrist. Now, this comes in accordance with, there's a secret power of lawlessness. That's that thing that most people, I was listening to George Norrie talk to somebody last night on Coast to Coast, and he was constantly, and he does this with many guests, and he asks them about, do they believe in a global elitist secret shadow, you know, government group that's trying to rule the world? And it's clear that he does. And I've heard them talk about the Antichrist. Now, the issue is this. That is all true. The Antichrist is coming. There's no question about that. And my opinion is that he's already been born, because he has to be here for, you know, to where he's literally an adult when he has the apocalypse. So behind the scenes, the regime, the secret government, secret religion, secret or shadow military side, the coordinating power is there. Many of our MP3s talk about that. We go into deep detail with that with the book, The Black Awakening, that we put out. Now, in the context of 2 Thessalonians 2, you can read about the parousia of the Lord, Jesus. You can read about the great revolt or rebellion. You can read about the Antichrist. You can read about the secret power of lawlessness that's already at work, supernaturally operative. You can read about counterfeit or pseudo, supernaturally driven or done signs, wonders, and miracles. We're talking about satanic, counterfeit, real but counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles done by demonic power. And right after the scripture speaks about the supernatural, we're talking about the pinnacle, the apex, the unprecedented unleashing of supernatural experiences, powers, miracles. And then look at the context. The Spirit of God goes on to paint the picture that the supernatural, demonically inspired, unprecedented unleashing of deception and demonic works is inseparably connected to a moral, which I'll say is very clear, is sexual decadence, a moral decadence. You know why? Deep Satanists understand this. Study about, study about ritual. Satanic rituals know, and even those who recruit people into satanic systems, including secret societies like the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, the old stuff with Aleister Crowley, they understand that that sexual sins, sexual perversions help darken the conscience and open the person for demonic attachment and ultimately for possession. When you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, written 2,000 years ago, about the very days that you and I are living in, you're reading about what the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God has given as a massive heads-up, detailed, accurate information, a clear sequence of the satanic evolution and its synchronicity, so that supernatural demonic acts, powers, and experiences will occur in direct connection to the deepening of the moral decadent, darkening of the conscience of humanity. On the one hand, the decadence sexually will become very deep, very broad, very wide. So I'm going to tell you that in any area of sexual decadence, the Sin Nature's drive, the Dark Side's drive will be to advance it, to deepen it, to bring people to deeper addiction, to bring it to more of a literally a Sodom and Gomorrah, literally to bring it to the point where we have a decadent Rome, a decadent Delphi temple, Delphi in Corinth. So that, listen, the Dark Side knows that sin, practiced by anybody, will help darken the conscience and help lead the person into deeper and darker issues and open the person to deception and the ultimate seductions. So when you read 2 Thessalonians 2, look at it in context. Not only is this Antichrist coming, the rebellion is coming, it's all done by Satan's operative works, supernaturally, secretively. It is in conjunction with signs, wonders, miracles, demonically inspired, and in every sort of evil, moral, which includes sexual decadent evil, that deceives those who are perishing. You want to know why humanity is perishing? You know what? You want to know why some will go to hell? It says it very clearly there, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. I pray to God tonight that as you listen or by the archives later, that you, the listener, will not end up in hell because you have refused to love the truth and so be saved. You could have been. Right now, in this hearing, you could be. God's will, God's summons, God's readiness, God provided, the power of God, Jesus Christ. Remember the words of Jesus? Well, listen, what about John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Where sin abounds, Romans 6, grace, what God offers in Christ, abounds much more. And I'll say it again, John's Gospel 3:17. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world. We are already condemned. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins, death has been brought in because of it. You and I are physically going to die. And without redemption, without the fix, without the healing, the salvation that God supplies, that takes care of every element of our barrier between us and God, the messed up barrier dysfunction of ourselves with others and ourselves with ourselves. You know, we've got people out there that literally are crazy. Nuts. Because sin, a fallen world, can literally bring such harm, such pain into the mind and into the emotions of individuals that they are broken and hurt and angry. Many homosexuals are homosexuals because they were raped. They were used. Many lesbians have told me in coming out of lesbianism that the reason they were in, I remember one girl sitting right in front of me telling me very clearly, because of what men did to her, she was afraid, and it was easier to be with a woman so as not to be abused. I've heard men come to me and tell me that they were initiated into homosexual acts by older men. That's the blatant truth. So Monday night's session that deals with, and again, listen, is this what society is about? Listen, because I've engaged, counseled, prayed for, and in some cases have even done deliverance. Well, let me tell you right now, I'll tell you what occurred. With a former law enforcement agent, we were at a kind of like a halfway house hotel that the city locally here uses for those getting out of prison and those who are homeless, and they house them. We had an individual that had been sexually abused, taken off by a individual that was involved in underground satanic ritual abuse. This individual involved this young man, 19 years old, in homosexual acts, a variety of things, numerous things. Also, this boy was at a rave, underground rave party. And a man got a hold of him, and there he was sexually used by another man. As we engaged this young man and began to talk to him, I'm telling you before God, a presence, another voice, a demonic voice came forward. Hideous, harassing, and we commanded in the name of the living Christ, how did you get in? This demonic presence came through transfer of the demonized man that raped the boy that helped turn him into a practicing homosexual. And he was caught. He was addicted. He was driven. The biblical psychology, if you want to call it that, the biblical physiology, listen, the Bible teaches this, Romans 6, you can study this. To whomsoever you obey, the sin nature, or God, the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you will become a slave, the idea of addiction. People have addictions because they can be physiological in the sense of nicotine or meth. Obviously, some things can be on a physical level. Many things are on an emotional level. But the sin issue, when any human being gives in to sin again and again, in the fallen and the power of that operative sin nature, it grows stronger and literally brings a kind of a binding, an addiction, a slavery to an area. If you're listening right now and you have an area of sin, whatever it may be, that you have done again and again and again and again, and you can't seem to stop, you become a slave. Romans 6 is absolutely true. And the only way out is clearly in the sight of Jesus Christ, repentance, looking to Him, renunciation, and if you're a believer, letting God fill you with the Spirit and turning to walk in obedience to the Word of God, in which you will become stronger and more empowered. And free. I'm going to tell you right now that I believe there are many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gays and lesbians that are addicted, that are caught, that are there, that are screaming that their rights and that they're okay, that they demand everything to change. But underneath it all, so many of them are looking for a way out, looking for freedom, knowing that it's wrong, and feeling the conviction within. You can blame shift your guilt on society, religion, whatever you want to do. You can try to change it all and then sit back and realize you're not satisfied because ultimately it goes against the natural, physiological, biological, and all the rest that we've been created to be. It's like telling a train, you know, when you drive on the tracks, you can go as fast as you can. You can go from city to city. You can go across the nation. You can do fruitful things. You can have all the cargo, and you can have people ride the train and just stay on the tracks. And, you are free. But if the train says, I don't want to be on the tracks, and don't you tell me I'm wrong, and I reject the tracks, and I'm jumping off the tracks, and I'm going to jump off into a swamp and I'm going to drive the train right into the swamp. Dysfunction against the natural created order of the train and the tracks. What's going to happen in the swamp? You're going to spin your wheels. You're going to get stuck. You can scream all you want to say that you're right, but you're wrong. When we as a nation are being pushed and forced to change everything to free the conscience of gays and lesbians. The question is whether or not you who are believers in Christ are going to be in the most powerful mission in human history, the evangelization of everyone. And using great prayer and seeking to make an effect in the nation. I'm not willing to let the nation go as a whole to the dogs. God's command, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, 26, 27. There's clearly this historic, eternal command of God that every nation repent and turn to God. Repenting of what's wrong, what is sin, what sticks us in the mud, what separates us from God, what the things that drive us straight into hell's belly. And God's made provision to come out of it. A life could be changed. A family could be changed. When God strikes cities in revivals, they can be changed. And when God strikes nations, you can read about the history of revivals and see how nations even have been infected for the good. I mean, it touched everything. Education, criminology, society, relationships. When revivals do strike, you can have one in your life, because the living Christ, who once died, once buried, once rose from the dead, lives even as I speak. In your presence and in my presence, oh, I feel his power and his joy and his freedom that he has given me on the inside. You ever read Romans chapter 8? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. So, to the homosexual activist, if you change everybody, if you get what you think is your way, if you get the special rights and the accolades, you already know in your heart that's not going to solve the issue. There's pain, there's sin, there's dysfunction, there's broken relationships, there's hatred, there is suicide, there is massive multiple partners, there is disease, there is physiologically no procreation. In the abnormal sexual union of a man with a man or a woman with a woman, and the declaration that we will be married, we will be family, we will be whatever. So when lobbyists force politicians who are stupid enough to force the military to change policy, the change that they're battling over right now, you know what it means? Special rights. What about those who are bisexual? What about those who are asexual? What about those, does a so-called straight person, are they allowed to walk around with a badge saying, I'm a straight person? Don't you call me a breeder. Don't you call me a hater. Don't you, listen, I'm celebrating my straightness. That'd be an outrage to some gays and lesbians. Does a man, a straight man, in the showers, in the barracks, want a gay man standing in the showers, sexually aroused by looking at their naked body, or the woman with the lesbian, or society, or even a restroom? Can you understand the complexity, the dysfunction, that it all goes back to the issue? God created us one way. God blesses in one direction. If you, listen, here's the changes. In the short amount of time we have tonight, let me just say tonight, too, 7 to 8 p.m. Tuesday night, Survive to Thrive, the radio network, the privilege that Steve Quell has given to me as a guest host. I'm sharing the things I clearly believe, and I simply tell you that I'm compelled by the Spirit of God. There'll be those, whether gays, lesbians or not, there are going to be people deceived by, you know, New Agers and 2012ers and Luciferians, all kinds of people all around the world, atheists and whatever. They'll be, listen, they will refuse to love the truth and they won't be saved and they'll be lost forever. The Word of God doesn't celebrate that. God says back in the book of Ezekiel, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. Jesus, when he wept outside of Jerusalem because of its vehement rejection of him as Messiah, as God visiting in human flesh to redeem them, because they've embraced their own religion that they made contrary to God, Jesus, knowing that their city, their nation would be left to them desolate, that's a prophetic thing. There's going to be a day when the nation turns back to Messiah, to Christ. The centrality of it all, eventually Antichrist will come there to the temple, declaring himself to be God. He'll betray Israel worse than Himmler, Hitler, the Nazis, and the Final Solution. So the issue is this. Will you let a sexual addiction that you demand for everybody else to accept you and to say you're right, when it will never happen? When gay activists, in their writings, in their videos, in their speeches, in their lobbying, in their political push, the goal would be to change science, the physics, the genetics. That's the goal. Change it all. Change everything. And in changing everything, well, the concept is we've been born this way. Well, you read the book, Politics of Truth, The Politics of Truth, The Politics of Truth. You'll find out clearly, scientifically, there's no truth. You cannot claim that God made you to be gay because you have feelings that way. You have propensity. That's like an adulterer saying, but I have feelings for the other woman. I have feelings for the other man. And I was driven to commit adultery. Or like the man that got 17 girls pregnant in a local high school. He was driven. Was he driven? Yes, by sexual sin, by the sin nature. A homosexual saying, God made me this way. Well, you can't procreate then. Well, I just take the breeder's babies. Is that right? Doesn't mean you can't love people, do things, work, become educated, you know, have a television program. Doesn't mean that can't happen. Be a movie star. But please understand, you're wearing the badge homosexuality, homosexual, gay, lesbian, whatever you want to call it. You're wearing a badge and you are literally telling people, you have to accept me. If not, well, literally, watch the gay lesbian movement. When a longtime gay or lesbian person, activist specifically, says, you know what? No, I quit. I'm leaving homosexuality. We have on our course, Sexual Decadence in the Man, one of the, and we have YouTube videos up and other things, materials. We have articles up where there are those who were once gay activists that have left and quit and went straight. The gay lesbian activist community ripped in the shreds. Part of the propensity is don't allow this. But don't you realize thousands and thousands and thousands of former ex-homosexuals have become moms and dads in the sense of straight marriage? That it works for them. In the church that I pastored last, I had a man that was gay, but he got out of it and turned to Christ and got married. He had kids. A woman that was a lesbian got out of it, left, chose. Does the gay activists allow gays and lesbians to choose and leave? Do they allow gays and lesbians to walk away and say, we don't want this? So the gay lesbians and the activism and the propensity is going to drive them to change science, psychology. It's already been done in history to transform and go back and even say Jesus was gay. How about education to get involved and lobby in education to change things and force children that are fifth graders and sixth graders and seventh graders to be taught with books where women are married with women, and specifically try to drive this as some sense of normality, change their whole mentality. Well, just like Hitler was trying to do with Hitler Youth. Get them when they're young. What about politics? What about laws? You got to understand, everyone listening, the gay, lesbian activists, they're out there trying to change politics, laws, trying to enact laws that you can't do what I'm doing right now. To freely, in free speech, declare that homosexuality is out there, so is adultery, so is everything else. But it is abnormal. There's a way out. Christ. Christ. Thousands have come, and you can come to Christ. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the hour. Survive to Thrive here on a Tuesday night, June 1st. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6 p.m.